We look together in God's Word in Isaiah chapter 9. We've been looking at this passage of Scripture as we have reflected upon verse 6. We begin reading with verse 2. People of God, hear the glorious good news of the person and work of Jesus Christ, the gospel that is revealed in its fullness in the New Testament. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. O people of God, there is this glorious declaration of who Jesus is. And what he establishes, he is a Prince of Peace. And in the text, that is something that is emphasized both before and after verse 6. You see it in verse 5. For the warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. No more will the instruments of war be used for war, but they will be broken down and used as instruments of peace, a daily living. And in verse 7, it is a government of his government in peace. There will be no end. And so we see the emphasis in the text on the Prince of Peace in many ways. Certainly, all the other aspects revealed of Christ in the passage are important. But we see the Prince of Peace emphasized before and after in the name itself. Prince of Peace. This peace is not only a peace that is a one that we may feel within ourselves. In other words, a state of relationship. It is a relationship that we have. It is a personal attribute that becomes ours, and it is also a state in which we find ourselves. So there's really three aspects to this peace. And the Word of God declares it. At the very heart of God's relationship with his people, we see what we describe as a covenant relationship. And we describe the covenant as a covenant of grace. That is God's undeserved love given to us, ultimately revealed in Christ. In Numbers chapter 25, verse 12, that covenant is described this way. Therefore, behold, I give him my covenant of peace. There is within the covenant of grace a description of the covenant as a covenant of peace. And so over and over again, we have the declarations concerning this covenant, this covenant of grace that is given. And so, people of God, we rejoice together in this clear declaration of God's word concerning the very heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the covenant of peace. We have not always seen that in the life of the church. And certainly there are those who would raise their heads in the name of Christ and would demonstrate something far less than peace. There are those who have claimed in the name of Christ and in the name of Christianity and acted in ways that are very contrary to what Jesus Christ declares to us here, that he is the Prince of Peace. And so when in the name of Christ, there are activities and actions that are contrary to the very essence of his revelation, we ought to take note and recognize that it is a false declaration to say that we are engaged in activity in the name of Christ and therefore we will go to war. The people of God, we must recognize that God has established and we believe that there are just wars. But there certainly have been times when in the name of Jesus Christ, people have said we go to war, where that is totally contrary to the revelation of Christ as the Prince of Peace. In people's individual lives, there is a great failing of those who claim to be Christians. There is a great failing and something that falls far short of what Christ calls us to as he leads and rules us as the Prince of Peace. We see the character of the nature of Christ being the Prince of Peace, that this is a ruling authority that he has. There is royalty in his exercise and is bringing peace. In the Old Testament, the word prince would have it within a royal ruler. It could be a commander of a military. It could be even description of a taskmaster, one who would be lord. And all of those aspects of royalty are certainly applicable. They apply to Jesus Christ. He is a royal ruler. He is a commander of the hosts of heaven. He is the one that is Lord of his people, but not an evil taskmaster, but rather a blessed taskmaster. One who doesn't enslave his people, but one who frees so that we're enslaved to righteousness and not enslaved to sin. He is the Prince, the ruler of peace. He is the one who has bring shalom. The word here is shalom. You may have heard that word. I've used it. It's such a common Old Testament and is so central to the revelation of God and his word. It's good for us to maybe think of a Hebrew word. It's a word that today would be used as the greeting that one person speaking the Hebrew language would give to another. And it would find that kind of use in the Old Testament as well. It would be a word that would describe the relationship between two people in such a way that it's sometimes translated close friends. It's a word that could be described in terms of one's health, that there is peace in one's body and so one is healthy. It's a word that is used as a word in the context of when people find themselves safe and the sense of safety and being at peace with their neighbor and not afraid. And so there's safety in the context of this word, peace. And of course, it's used in the context of peace itself, peace of mind, peace of heart. It's a word that ultimately is connected to well-being and wholeness and fullness. This is a word that's used extensively in Scripture in many different contexts and has many different aspects, all tied to the same word. Completeness, wholeness, harmony, fulfillment, unimpaired relationship. Even fulfillment in one's undertakings. All of this to describe this peace. And so God would use it to describe his people at worshiping and living to His glory in the land of Canaan, for instance. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 6, where He would describe the peace that He would give to the land. And ultimately, God in Christ will give peace to the whole earth. But Leviticus 26, verse 6 says it this way: I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. There is a peace. Genesis chapter 15, verse 15 describes the peace that God's people would experience even in death. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. And there's also, of course, peace between nations. But oftentimes there is a expectation of peace, and there is also a declaration of peace where there is no peace. In Jeremiah chapter 6, a famous passage that would describe those who would think there was peace when there was no peace. Jeremiah 6, verse 13. Because from the least of them to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And so it is today, people of God, that many people declare peace, or many people declare an avenue to peace that cannot bring peace. The Word of God has declared, and the only place that one will be able to find true peace is in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. There is the one in whom true peace is found, present, future, and eternal. And only there. The nature of the fact that Jesus Christ is a prince, that He is one who brings peace, is declared over and over again concerning the Messiah, the Christ. Indeed, the angels declare that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace in Luke chapter 2, 10 through 12. And then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For this, there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There is that princely, ruling declaration. This is a ruler. This is a king. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace on whom God's favor rests. Peace through Jesus Christ, this one who has come. And so we see in the declaration of the angels, we see the declaration concerning a Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. He is a Prince. He is a Christ. He is an anointed one. He is a ruler. He is a Lord. But it is connected to peace. The very first specific message concerning Jesus Christ, as the angels break into praise, they recognize peace. Simeon in Luke chapter 2, 25 through 32 says it this way. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Prince, the Lord's anointed one, the Lord's royal authority. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So Simeon could experience personal peace. Peace in the fulfillment of God's word in his own life as he looked upon Jesus Christ. In Matthew 2, verse 6, which we mentioned already, the declaration, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd his people Israel. And the whole concept of that shepherding brings you back to David and brings you back to Psalm 23, in which that psalm sets before us a peaceful setting, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus Christ, the shepherd king, the royal ruler. He is the son that is given, the son of David, the royal line. But his rule is as a prince of peace. Jesus Christ himself would be acknowledged as that prince, as that Christ, as that ruler. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, you have one of the culminating texts of the New Testament concerning who is Jesus. And in Matthew 16, verse 16, Simon says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when he said Christ, he was saying, you are the prince. You are the prince. You are the ruler. You are the one who oversees your people. But he oversees us and he rules and he has authority and power as that one who is the Prince of Peace. And so there is no inconsistency between saying you are the Christ, you are the ruler, you are the one that has all power. And Jesus declaring in Matthew 14, verse 27, these blessed words to the people of God. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I give you. That's Christ's peace to us. He gives it because he's the ruler of it. He's the one that has all the authority and power over that peace. He's the giver of peace. He has accomplished that because he is first of all the one who is an offering of peace. Jesus Christ has offered himself, has given himself as the peace offering. There was in the Old Testament the concept of a peace offering. Jesus is the peace offering. The offering that brings about peace between God and man through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And there is the most important place to find peace. Our world is looking for peace. Our world is filled with turmoil. All we have to do is read the headlines of any day and we'll see headlines of unrest where it's the opposite of peace, where there is turmoil. But God in his grace will give peace through Christ between us and God, first of all. In Romans chapter 5, we have that clear and glorious declaration concerning that peace. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have been justified by faith. And we know that that justification comes only through Christ's peace offering. And when Christ offered himself on the cross to bring about peace, then we experience that peace as God's people with God. Peace with God. We rejoice in that peace. We live in that peace. And it makes a difference on how we face all the issues and trials of life. Jesus Christ has also declared that He is the one that brings peace between each other. Peace between people. And that too is one of the key elements in which God declares in His Word. Because by nature, we are not at peace with one another. Not as neighbors. Not as friends. Not as nations. Not in the context of marriage. By nature, there is no peace. Because our hearts are filled with pride and conceit, with the opposite of peace, always seeking our own way, always desiring our own path. And the Word of God comes and says there's a way of peace. It is through Christ, and it is through Christ that all the walls of hostility are broken down between one another. Between races, between nationalities, between different social or economic status. Jesus Christ is the one through whom peace reigns. And people of God, that is testified in the Church of Jesus Christ over and over again. Every church ought to be a church that exemplifies the reality of God's peace, where in the world that peace does not exist. And the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole would exhibit that in true ways. That God is the one who fulfills what Ephesians 2, verse 11 through 18 declares. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that once you Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, all this hostility between Jew and Gentile, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We are now near. We are now the ones who are near to God. For He Himself is our peace. Jesus Christ Himself is our peace, who has made both Jew and Gentile, and every other division that mankind has established to raise up elements and walls of hostility, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, particularly in Jew and Gentile, having abolished in His flesh the enmity that is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, because He is the Prince of Peace, that He might reconcile them both to God, peace between man and God, and then peace between one another in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. God is the one who has established peace. Peace between us and God through the Prince of Peace. Peace with one another through the Prince of Peace. Indeed, Jesus Christ declares, I have told in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in Me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Or another one of those passages that set before us both the challenge and the promise of God's peace. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, in the Prince of Peace. And so the peace of God is established in and through Christ. And that's why we, in the benedictions and in the greetings, almost always have, not every benediction and greeting in the New Testament has peace, but almost all of them, we say and rejoice, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the central element, for He is, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and His kingdom is a kingdom of peace. And so now we have to ask ourselves, what difference does this make? Who is the first peacemaker in your life? Do you trust the Prince of Peace? Is He the foundation of peace within your own soul? Is He the foundation of peace in the relationships that God has placed you in? Whether it be husband and wife, or whether that be child and parent. Where Christ is the peacemaker, there is peace. The foundation for peace. The avenue for peace. The hope for peace. Do you have peace in your sufferings, in your surroundings, in your sickness? You members, every member should have some aspect of this in your minds, but can you die in peace? The only way that anyone can ultimately die in peace is to know the Prince of Peace. Or there really is no peace in death. I just had someone say to me in the past week that he had gone to a funeral. And all it was a funeral from a friend of his from high school. And it was 3 hours of drinking. Whether it was a celebration or whatever it was, but there was no peace there. There's no sense of well-being, of wholeness. What a contrast. And when we die, will we testify to the peace of God in our death? The funerals are a time when we can do that as God's people. Are you at peace? Are you a peacemaker? If you've experienced this peace with God, then you ought to be a peacemaker. Now, if there is offense that we bring, it's because we declare that there is only peace through the Prince of Peace. But we would still desire, as Romans 12 verse 8 would declare to us, Romans 12 verse 8. Which would say, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Be a peacemaker in this world. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, sons of the Prince of Peace. And so, people of God, in our everyday lives, we have every opportunity to reflect Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace. Oh, that this world, and oh, that our friends and neighbors whose lives are so often filled with turmoil, that they would experience the joy and the blessing of knowing, having faith in the Prince of Peace. Amen. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the wonders of the saving grace that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord, the Prince of Peace. We thank you for the peace that you have established between yourself and us through Christ. The peace that we have with one another because Jesus Christ is the one who has broken down every dividing wall between us. The peace that we want to testify to our world in order that the Prince of Peace may be declared and the gospel of peace may be known, and that many may join us in both an understanding of and a living out of the reality of who Christ is as the Prince of Peace. And so, O Lord, may we see ever more clearly our Lord and Savior, and may we live ever more fully to His glory and His honor. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.